brought to our attention. Now, I want to go into a subject tonight that has intrigued me for quite some time, because the end age ends up in two systems working together, which is the Nicolaitan and the Laodicean. And because this age ends in the Laodicean form of church worship, many people are not prone to understand the Nicolaitan continuance, because they both continue this age until the Lord comes. And they find many people have left organization, never come into the message. They have the same spirit with them that they came out of, that organization. And this is a bad situation, and I am a little afraid from what the brother Branham taught us, that this Laodicean Nicolaitan complex is amongst us who believe in this message and try to follow the teaching of Brother Branham. And this message is based upon my experience in America, as I travel around and visit the various churches, and also in Europe. And I'll try to keep from mentioning names or be too obvious in what I'm saying. But you should be able to gather from the Word of God, and what I say, to be well warned of where we stand tonight and what precautions should be taken to keep us in a healthy position, which I'm afraid many people are not in tonight. And I say this with all sincerity, without fear of contradiction, because with no problem I could name names and places and what has been said. So, now this is not a scandal sheet you're going to hear tonight. It won't be the Inquirer, the Chronicle, or True Magazine or something. It's not meant to be that way. It's an absolute analytical study from the Word of God and what we have right today in America and in Europe, around the world, who say they believe this message. So that's my thought tonight on the Nicolaitan Laodicean complex of the end time. Before I bring it, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, I pray tonight you'll help me to be very, very objective, to bring out the solid facts of the truth of your word, Lord, in such a way that when people will see what is in the land or what might come near them, in their churches, in their homes, and in their relationship to this end time message, the word of warning, Lord, will be sufficient to cause them to not only know where they stand, but to give them strength in the stand that they have taken. Lord, that we as preachers may not fail you, and that the people as your sheep may not fail you. But together, Lord, we may be one in the revelation of thy divine will, which is thy word. Help us tonight, therefore, Lord, to say the things that ought to be said, to refrain from the things that ought not to be said. Lord, the ears might also be open to understand that which they ought to know, and close, O God, the ears to that which they ought not to hear. We pray tonight we should therefore be one in understanding and faith and love and sobriety through the Holy Spirit, bringing us into a Holy Spirit manifested life through the Word. Bless each one of us, O God, and may we forever be devoted to you and to each other, and stand firm in the faith at this end time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, we can turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 6. And then also chapter 3, verse 14. 2 and 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. 3:14, unto the messenger, which is in the church in Laodicea, write these, write. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, my message might just as well be entitled, From Subjugation to Anarchy. From Subjugation to Anarchy. The first church age began with a subtle form of subjugation. The last church age ends in anarchy. Yet these two must exist together and end up together worshiping the devil. Also, we can show you by Scripture that they both start in the first church age, for all seed must have its origin in the beginning. There can be no seed that comes to fruition or harvest in Laodicea, the seventh church age, which was not planted in the first church age. And you will notice this is true because when the Spirit speaks by the Apostle John, he invariably says, "Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the churches." He doesn't say to the church of each age. He says to the churches. Every age has its own particular message which sets forth what that age will be like. But also, within this series of seven ages, there is an interrelationship. And here we find what ends up as anarchy had to start in that first church age. Now you'll notice in Revelation 2 and 6, the Holy Spirit says you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, later on, he mentions the deeds become a doctrine. But at this time, it is merely the hatred of the deeds. It has not become a doctrine, but it's incipient in the church, and it is in a seed form. Now, what is a Nicolaitan? The word Nicolaitan comes from two Greek words, the first of which is Nikeo, which is to conquer. Secondly, the word is Laos, which means laity. So therefore, Nicolaitan means to conquer the laity. This is to make a captive audience of the people, to bind the people to a man-made system of creeds and dogmas and to a religious formula. They will be bound there, and they are subjugated. They're conquered. In other words, the will of a clergy takes dominion over the will of the people. Yet at the end time, the will of the people becomes supreme. But they both have to start in the beginning. Now, this Nicolaitan system started originally by subtle changes in Paul's gospel. And this is what I want you to mark. Now, you may not realize I made a very, very, very important statement here. That this system, this Nicolaitan system, which Brother Branham traced to the church ages, which ends with the system worshiping the devil, thinking he's God, began with subtle changes in the word as originally given by Paul. See, you say, well, I think it was organization. Where did organization come from? See? How did it start? You just can't look at the picture and say, well, I understand the church system and how it's functioning and the terrible thing it's doing, but you've got to see where it came from. Otherwise, it will not do you any good to hear this message tonight, because all you'll be is confused. You won't know what I'm talking about. You won't know what to look for. You won't even know what's happening. See? Now, will you pardon this? I could become very personal here, and it wouldn't touch any of you people in this room. But I could become very personal at this minute and show you a Nicolaitan system right now in what we call the message. An absolute Nicolaitan system. So what did I say a minute ago? I said this began by subtle changes in the word as delivered by Paul. Now, what did I say? Do you hear what I said? All right. You know, I'm an old school teacher, so don't mind if I sort of embarrass you. I don't mean to embarrass you. I just mean to make sure you're going to get this. See? All right, we go to the book of Acts, the 20th chapter. In the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, we're going to see where this took place. Beginning in verse 17, "And from Miletus Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Now, the elder never was a part of the fivefold ministry. God never gave elders and deacons to the church as part of the established ministry ordained and elected of God. He couldn't. For had he given seven, it would have spelled completion and perfection. And the church could not have fallen any more than Adam could have fallen or Eve could have fallen, except the Eve was a subsequent creation after Adam. Understand? But when he gave deacons and elders, it dropped the ministry to sevenfold, but not God sevenfold. See? Now just keep that in mind as we go down the trail. And then when they were came to him, he said to them, you know from the first day I came to Asia, after the manner I've been with you in all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the laying and way of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Notice what he did. He taught them publicly, testifying both to the Jews, to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Faith that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But none of these things move me. See? Now notice notice later on what does move him. Neither count down my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of Christ. What was his ministry? To bring out this gospel of grace. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you the counsel of God. Now notice why he's free from the blood of all men. Not because he testified. Not because he was a preacher. Not because he was a missionary. Not because he healed the sick. But because he was true to the word of God. See? Now you must remember that. Many people say, well, women are okay to preach. It's all right. I'm it's okay to try to serve God the way I'm doing because I want to bring in souls. I say ridiculous. You're not free from the blood of anybody unless you bring the unadulterated word of God. If you bring the adulterated word of God, then you are not free from the blood of all men. You are guilty of their blood. Brother Branham categorically stated, he said, you people, listen to me. I will be judged by Jesus Christ. And if I have taught you a lie, I will be judged for what I have taught you. You will not be judged. So how can anybody be free from the blood of anybody unless he is one with his word? See? Now this gives the lie then to missionary programs, so-called, Sunday schools and everything else. Now this may be cutting pretty close, but I can't help it. I'm not interested in how people feel because I can't spare my own feelings when I'm up here. I've got to stay true to this word. And Paul said he was true. He was free from the blood of all men on the ground that he delivered the word that he said, you cannot add one word to. In fact, if I myself come, said Paul, and add or take one word from what I taught you originally, let me be accursed. See? There's no freedom. You know, you understand why I'm saying these things. Because if I said anything different, then immediately I will be condoning and standing with the people today that I know God condemns because they turned down the prophet. You can't do it. Now notice, I have not come to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? The revealed truth. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which God has purchased with his own blood. Now what is the blood? How can God have blood? That's almost a silly thing. God doesn't have blood. He's spirit. But when God created himself in the form of human flesh, as Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ is the blood of God, created blood in the womb of Mary. Now doesn't that make sense? Because we were purchased by Jesus. He paid the redemption price. What is the blood of God? Jesus Christ. For this I know, that after my departing, no watch now, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own self shall men arise, seeking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one of you night and day. Now we know this, we can prove by history, that it is the elder that made himself the bishop, which is all right, he's the bishop. That's his office. And he took authority over everybody else in the church, apart from the local congregation, and put it over a whole diocese, so to speak. Now where did it start? It started right here in men arising. Men that Paul had taught, that sat under his ministry. And he said, you are going to pervert the word of God and draw away disciples after yourself. Disciples away from whom? Away from Paul. because Paul was the original teacher. And he said, here is where it starts. This is a Nicolaitan system. And it starts by people taking the truth of Almighty God for that age, and then they twist it in order to attract the attention unto themselves. See? They get disciples. These men in turn are learners. See? Now, this is that Ephesian church. Notice that Paul founded. This Ephesian church, of which we recognize the epistle to the Ephesians, is the most beautiful heavenly epistle in the whole Bible. It's recognized as the highest spiritual writing in the Word of God. Yet it's in this church that these very deeds are found. Why? Because already they are perverting the Word of God. First of all, they're taking an undue authority. Because Paul gave them authority, which we'll talk about later. But they extended the authority beyond the bounds. There is an authority in the church. We'll prove it here. But this authority which they were taking was absolutely unwarranted. They took the very thing that God gave them and perverted it. See? They took the Word of God and they twisted it to their own end. They began teaching their own creeds and dogmas. John spoke of this very trouble, which I read to you in Revelation 2 and 6. Paul said it's already here. John said, this is the Ephesian age that's going to start it. The Nicolaitan system. Verse 30 describes it perfectly. As I said, your own selves, men shall rise up, and they will speak perverted things. The clergy binding men and women to themselves by a false interpretation of the word. This is the clergy I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you people, I'm talking about me. My brethren, together, the clergy and the people are void of God. Modern denominations have their seed here through organization. Jesus spoke of it, and he brought it out in Matthew, the 17th chapter. I'm sorry, Matthew 7, not 17, but 7. Beginning at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Many people will just not take the Bible the way it's written. They want their own interpretation on this. See? The people sitting in most of the pews where I minister, they reserve to themselves the right to interpret this verse the way they want to interpret it. Now, the verse interpreted this way is very, very simple. A wolf in sheep clothing is a man who acts and looks just like a Christian. He's sweet. He's kind. He's loving. He has what you call the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, and mercy, and so on. Nine of them. See, but inside he's a ravening wolf. Paul spoke of these. He said, there the men that I have trained are going to rise up and pervert you. Let's look at this other one of these men. You see which one I want to talk about. Well, either the one in Titus or the one in Timothy. Doesn't much matter. I can describe either one. All right. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3rd chapter. If a man desires the office of the bishop, this was an elder. He desires a good work. Now here's an elder, the bishop. What's he got to be? Blameless. Husband of one wife. Vigilant. Sober. Good behavior. Given to hospitality. Apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, nor not greedy of filthy lucre, patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, his children in subjection with all gravity, for a man does not know how to rule his own house, how to rule the church of God, not a novice, not lifted up with pride, lest he fall into condemnation. He's got to be humble. Moreover, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and of the snare of the devil. Now listen, that's what Paul said was going to betray the church. Now I want to ask you a question. Now you know I don't mean it personally. Are you stupid tonight? Or are you on your toes? Maybe I didn't hurt you, did I, asking that? But I got to ask this, because wherever I preach, it's the same story. You're not listening. Did you hear what I read tonight, what this elder's like? He's loving, sweet, and kind, and gentle. He passed the test. But he's going to fool you. Okay. Now, did you get what I said? Or are you still going to maintain what Moses is? Oh, well, brother, there is so sweet and he's so loving. All right, then God's alive.
Let's go home now. Shut the door and be good to me. You're smarter than God. You got to figure it out. Huh? I don't mean you as a people. This table goes to some of my friends. And I wonder what they're thinking. But do you get the picture tonight? A wolf in sheep clothing. And here's where it starts. With tested, proven men who took the test. But they pervert the word. And this is not some drunken bum that goes around beating up his wife and kicking his children and comes home, you know, late in the morning after being carousing with the local women down the street, you know, and he just robs the store. Oh, no, come on, come on. This man, he's the epitome. You say, he's the kind of guy that, not him, yes, him. Now, that's it. You shall know them by their fruit. What in the world has fruit got to do with an animal? You don't talk about fruit coming off an animal. God starts with animals and ends up with fruit. Come on, boss, you ought to pick some grapes off. You see, you're crazy nut, and that's pretty dumb cow. God's not stupid. I want to get your attention on this and show you. You all have enough education to know if you wrote an essay like this, you'd get plunked out of school. What man are you? Start with an animal and then talk about a tree? You gotta be sick. God's not sick. He's trying to show you this wolf in sheep clothing is a tree. See? A sheep is a Christian. But when the Bible talks about people, it talks about trees or two vines or two trees. And they're in the middle of the garden. Because that's where all the trouble came from, was from two trees. They wouldn't take the right tree, so they took the other tree. And the one tree was what? Good and evil. Now, God never made anything evil. You can't find one thing in the Bible that God made evil. You always say, well, God created evil. That word is trouble. Not evil. My Bible said God made everything good. Even the devil was good until when? Iniquity was found in him. See? What is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It is the word of God perverted. Now it says that's death. What led the church to his death? The elders led the church to his death. Fine, sweet, sincere men. Very godly, you say. Very godly, I say. But they perverted the word. See? Notice. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now he lays it down there. See? God has placed in his church a trusted ministry that cannot bring forth evil fruit, that cannot pervert the word of God. They cannot lead disciples after them. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul leading disciples after him? Or that old corn cob? He wrote the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Sure he did. But when there was trouble between him and John Mark and Barnabas, he got so hot-headed that John Mark went off with Barnabas and Paul took silence. Did you catch him on one word? Look at David. A man of the so rough, God said, you'll never build a temple. You can build a house if you want, but you never build my temple. There's too much blood in your hands. But a man after God's own heart. Why? One who's that with that word. I know there's some people that say, oh, I won't go through that nonsense because I want to tell you, I can tell a Christian by his fruit. Now, come on. You don't believe the prophet at all. You don't even believe one thing he said. Because the most important thing he said, the evidence of the Holy Ghost was not love, it was not the truth you think it was, but it was recognizing what God was doing for your day. Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says. Okay? Now, I'm not rough on you. Now, pardon me. If you think I'm rough on you, I want you to know I'm not mean rough on you. I am rough on a principle that I'm running across all the time. And it's so appalling that it gets you after a while. And then you just preach a little bit rough. Notice he said, now wherefore by their fruit you shall know them. What fruit are you talking about? The fruit of the tree. Good and evil. You cannot be a member of the bride and be partaking of the tree of the knowledge of evil because it's death. That tree, brother, sister, is knowledge. Knowledge. You don't eat rhubarb or apples to get knowledge. 1 minute. There's only one way to get knowledge, and that is by the impartation of the mind. And remember, the mind is the womb. Now, if you want to get pregnant and all dirtied up with venereal disease, you listen to creeds and dogmas. You'll find out on resurrection morning we'll both miss the rapture. Because everybody but the bride's got a whoring mind, which is a whoring womb. She'll receive anybody's seed and bring forth a monstrosity like Cain, who will worship God and kill his brother. Say, I'm not my brother's keeper. Look you right in the eye. Because you had no revelation of faith through the Word, see? Now, by their fruits you know them. What fruit is he talking about? The Word. Because there's your two trees. Now you say that Brother Branham say this, here anointed ones at the end time again. And you'll understand why I'm saying this. Now, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now listen carefully here. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now listen. I'm going to show you something. That is the will of God that you prophesied. And they did it. And he said, you did not do my will. Now God, is God a liar? He said, cast out devils. They'll say, we have cast out devils. And there's no doubt they cast the devil. God said to do it. Then that must be the will of God. God said, you want to go in his name. That must be the will of God. How come suddenly it's not the will of God and it's iniquity? Now where's your love gone to? Now where's your giving your body gone? Now where's your gifts of sacrifice gone? It's all down the drain. Because you can take every word in this book that you think brings you life and it'll kill you the minute you do it. Because you weren't ordained to do it. Or you did it outside the context of the Word. Because everything in this book must be not only done according to what God said, but according to how God said it. See, thou make everything according to the pattern I showed you in the mouth, and he raised up men like Bezalel, he was the Spirit of God upon it, to do what he said to do. When we work outside the framework of the Word of God, now I'll illustrate simply, women preachers. I don't care if this woman in Pittsburgh can raise the dead. I don't care if she raised the, if she went to the graveyard and blew a trumpet, they all came up. I say, glory to God. You'll drop dead again because the wrong one brought you. I'll tell you one thing. If she could blow a trumpet and the dead raise up, I know one thing. In the white throne judgment, she and a whole bunch of still go to hell. Not because I say so. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says. I'll take my chance with this Word here to make it or not make it. We're going to judge the world. We better know a little bit what we're going to do ahead of time. Because he said, I never knew you. You did iniquity. Working outside the framework, which is to pervert the Word of God, thinking you can arrive at God's conclusion because you're aiming at it. Where do you get Sunday school in the Bible? You raise up a twofold generation of hell. How? By teaching your kids in church what you already know from God by revelation, and they get it up here and it doesn't go down here, and they go out doing the things that you do, and they look like Christians, and they act like Christians, but they haven't got a thing from God. And Pentecost thought that could never happen with tongues, because they said it's the Holy Ghost. But the Bible said in the end time there'd be anointing, even the devil could talk with tongues. You operate the Word of God outside the Word. That's why Brother Branham said, now get this and get it straight, because it'll help you. Brother Branham said, when the bride becomes a virgin of the Word, she will have the Word of God in her and know what to do with it. See, people don't. It's like in the days of Israel. They were casting out devils. Jesus said, by whom do your children cast out devils? They were casting out devils, and yet they crucified the Word. Operating outside the Word. Taking the Word of God out of its context. You, in the Greek or Hebrew, you raise your voice in the wrong place. You change the Word of God.
Okay, that's true.
Now, what did Jesus say about these people? Over here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, he said in verses 27, 28, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whited sepulchres. Now, who is a scribe and a Pharisee? He was not a Levitical priesthood minister. He wasn't one of the fivefold ministries. You are like whited sepulchres, which appear beautiful outwardly, but inward you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. What does God call these men that handle the word of God deceitfully? He calls them hypocrites. He said you're full of dead men's bones. He said there's death inside of you. And you're a purveyor of death. Why? The people, I know people say, well, one little mistake, that wouldn't count. Why does he say then take away one word, your name goes out of the book of life? Add one word, you get the plague death. See? Now, how sweet these people are on the outside. When they say what Paul said, they would quote it with their own explanation and ideas. A fellow not long ago said, isn't it wonderful how Brother Branham taught us on the body, soul, and spirit? Why, he said nobody but Brother Branham could give us that revelation. And why, he said animals don't have souls. That's right. But I got news, animals do have souls. So how does that make Brother Branham a liar? No. On one case, Brother Branham says the inner soul. And I said, there it is. I never dared open my mouth against the prophet because I know that animals do have souls. But they don't have inner souls. They have an outer soul. We have an inner and an outer. In other words, that outer soul is whereby we're able to contact the main things, live in a soulish atmosphere, as the Bible calls it. Trace your scripture, find it all the way through there. But as he said, the beast, the serpent, had a place for a soul in his heart, but didn't have a soul. And the animal does not have that inner soul. He does not have the knowledge between right and wrong where the soul is, because otherwise, why does the soul die when you sin, if it doesn't have the difference, know the difference between right and wrong? It's got to be there. That's what dies. That's what's got to have the knowledge of good and evil is in the soul. Is that right? Certainly. You don't find the prophet making one mistake. Just hold your horse until God shows you. You run until you get the information, because he rounded the whole book up. Just takes time. See? Now, he said this. He said, here is where you know difference between good and evil. Animals don't know that. That's why they're naked. It doesn't matter. See? And they commit sex acts out there. Doesn't mean anything. That's an animal. He can't help it. He's just an animal. See? It looks like we're about that stage now, too, out here at hippies. But here's what he said next. Now he said, when you sin, the soul leaves the body, but it comes back when you die. Now, where's that in the Bible? Where'd the prophet say that? Now, don't think that's strange, because when Paul preached on the resurrection, some said the resurrection is already over, or overthrowing the faith of men. Now, where did that man get that idea that the soul leaves the body and comes back when you die? But notice the trap. Sweet, humble, gracious. And then he says, Brother Branham taught us. And so they're all ears now, because this is a great, gracious man of God. And he loved the prophet. He's got the message. So he says, now the soul, when you sin, it leaves the body. Oh, but that I didn't know it. Oh, that's so common. And you see why I treated you up at the beginning of this service? You see now? Well, I sort of hammered you. You could be taken in so quick. Of course, if we get to connect and they you won't be, but the thing is this, you know, you still got to teach the truth. It's just as though nobody was. Because Brother Brown said, when I give an altar call, he said, I act as though nobody's saved. Of course, I know you're saved mostly, but he said, I got to act as though nobody is. So when I preach in the Holy Ghost, I got to talk as though nobody's got the Holy Ghost. Find the most you have. So when I preach this message here, I got to act as though nobody here was aware of anything going on. I got to teach in such a way that when you meet the horse down the road, you don't say, hey, that's a fine looking elephant. That'd be pretty, pretty terrible for a Christian to be that ignorant. You know, Paul got impatient one time. He said, well, he said, if you're ignorant, just be ignorant. Just keep on. Can't teach another. Well, I don't want that in my attitude, and I know that wasn't Paul's attitude, but remember, there comes a time when some will never learn. We trust we're not of that category. When they said what Paul said, they would quote it with their own explanation and idea. That's being done right today. On Europe, a man discussed church order. And he gave his explanation, not Brother Branham. He's very happy he's right. And I'm very unhappy because he's wrong. He's wrong. And I can prove it by several things. But he's wrong. How many of you folks ever heard church order? You got your big drunk church order? Try to get someone to copy for you verbatim. And you're reading to what church order is all about. I've got my copy verbatim. Now listen, they might say what Paul said, but draw a conclusion Paul never drew. So you can do that pretty easy. Or from a correct statement, make an incorrect one, like I told you a minute ago. Now, while Paul was around, they could not do this, for the people had access to Paul. But he said, I'm going to be leaving you. And already you've got it cooked up inside. When I go, you're going to change what I've said. He said, you're going to pervert it. Then you're going to lead people astray. See? That's why he said, don't change your words. But with Paul gone, anything went from that time on. Now notice, I said a while ago, that the seeds of anarchy were there too. Because this is anarchy. Laodicea is anarchy, which I'll explain later. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you speak all the same things, and there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined in the same mind, the same judgment. Now, who started the church of Corinth? Paul did. He brought the word of God. See? But now they're rebelling against Paul's authority. Brethren, be declared unto me of you, my brethren, that there be some in the house of clothes, that there be contention among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Cephas, I'm a Christ. Is Christ divided, and so on. Now over here in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. That I may not seem as it would terrify you by letters, for his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. He had already turned on Paul. And they denied church order. Now notice, under Paul's ministry, the people in Corinth denied church order. Paul set the church in order. And he said, when you want to exercise gift ministry, you all come together in one place and every single thing is judged. They said, we don't want that. They said, the Pentecostals don't want it right now. Some of our brethren don't want it right now. When Brother Branham tried to set his own church in order, now get this and understand it. Brother Branham could not even set his own church in order. He couldn't. Because the people would not do it. That's anarchy. That's the highest form of anarchy. To stand up and say, William Branham, I believe you're a man sent of God. I believe you're a prophet of God. I believe the word's in you. I believe I ought to hear you. Then turn around and deny church order. Why, what is this? What kind of talk is this in it? Aren't the people of God aware of what's going on today in America and around the world to say that he is messy? To call William Branham a prophet of God, and when he sets the church in order, they pull out and go someplace else? And then nobody will come together at any time under anybody and see if the gifts will operate? All right, let's look at the scripture if you don't think that's anarchy. Look over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Paul said in verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I said you are the commandments of the Lord. Then he said, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. How stupid can you get, he's saying. You called me a prophet of God? You knew that I had the vindicated ministry. You knew I had thus said the Lord. And when I come and set the church in order, you had a word against me. And you defied me. He said, if that's not the height of ignorance, I've never seen any. Just go ahead and be stupid. I mean, Paul was looking like old E. Dale. You only said a nicer. And he had something to talk, but I don't. I don't have what Paul has. But I can feel for Paul and understand what he's talking about. What are you going to do with people? Are you going to bat them over the head of the club? You ride herd on them? And hit them in the mouth with a lead pipe? Until they understand what you're talking about? What is going on anyway? If William Branham was a prophet, then why did they withstand him? Because they withstood Paul. The seeds of anarchy started here in the first century. The seeds of anarchy were right here in the first century. And the seeds of anarchy at the end time will lead the whole world outside the bride to the feet of the Antichrist. And those that wake up too late will die for their testimony. And the rest will worship God, thinking it's God, and they'll be worshiping the beast. The devil himself is saying, hallelujah, that's God. There'll be a bunch of tongue-talking Pentecostals are doing too. And I got nothing against it. I'm just letting you know because this is an end-time mystery. Anointed by the Holy Ghost and end up worshiping the devil. This is just like number 16. When Moses was the man identified by God to give them the word for that day to lead them into the promised rest, they came up against Moses. 250 princes, which signified the elders of the congregation, they rose up. They were men of authority. And they were placed there to do a service in the house of Almighty God. They had manifested ministry, and they were to follow under Moses. And then when Moses turned his back, they perverted what Moses said. And they said, well, I've just been to Moses to find God, but we've got to find word too. Anarchy, already in a state of anarchy. And what happened to that day? God opened the earth and took them down alive into the pit, destroying them by fire. God will do the same thing at the end time. I said to Brother Branham one day, Brother Branham, something comes to my mind. He said, what is it? I said, I believe this, Brother Branham. If you are that prophet sent of God, Elijah, I said, God is going to have to vindicate your ministry by judging the minister to this day. He said, that's exactly right, Brother Dale. I did not know he had said it previously about a year before this. Exactly right. Why? Because the ministers are the ones to blame. At the end time, then the people are going to get the blame thrown on them. Do you want? Now, Laodicea. Laodicea means people's rights. Government by the people, which is democracy. Where do you find democracy in the Bible? There's no place for democracy in the Bible. It's theocracy. Theocracy by a prophet. God ruling by the word which comes by the prophet. See? God ministering through the priesthood, which is ordained to bring the word to the people so they will not go astray. But God blessing the people so that you cannot come to God except you come by the church. Now, that sounds like a real rough statement, doesn't it? But I want to ask you one question. How do you get in the bride? How do you get to Christ unless you're in the bride? And how do you become a bride unless you get in her? So therefore, how can you get to Christ except you come by the church? The true church, you can't do it. Nobody ever comes to Christ except through the true bride, because if you come to Christ, you're in that bride. If you come to the body. God gives us a very exalted position, then we want something bigger. We don't want something better, we want something bigger. See? Babylonish religion. Cain wanting his religion. Flowery, pretty nice. See? Truth, not blood. See? People's rights. Government called democracy. Government by many, for the many. It is people setting up their own government. They put in men and tell them what they want done. See? Now, this is absolutely contrary to the word. I find it so hard to get the people settled down and listen to the preacher. Now, here's where you better watch your step. I've been running up preachers over the coals, Tom. You better watch your step. So I'm going to say some things you might not agree with, but that's okay. That doesn't bother me one little bit. Because you don't disagree with what he said. You disagree with God. So you better take a big club and get him over the head. Might be kind of hard to find. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, the word of God by the Apostle Paul says, beginning at verse 9, now he that ascended, what is it but he first of all descended the lower part of the earth? And he that descended is the same also ascended up far above all things, heaven, above all heaven, and he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Listen, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, make rough unto him in all things, which is the head even Christ. What are these men going to do? They're going to keep you from getting into false doctrine. The fivefold ministry is the true tree of God planted in the bride, that you may eat the fruit. A true minister of God will never, ever defile anybody. He'll not be a big church builder. He'll not be a big programmer. He won't be trying to win the world for God, because it can't be done. You saw an example in William Branham. I don't need to speak anymore. He turned down $1 million at one time, a half at another time, 50,000 another time, 10,000 another time, 5 another time, 7. He turned down millions. When he could have taken that same money and been on the radio, TV, newspaper, magazines, everything else. Why'd you do it? You show me the Bible where that's done. Show me where the Apostle Paul ever asked for an offer. Okay. You show me where these men in the early church ever did anything like we've got going on today. These men are set here to bring the church to its maturity, to its perfection, so it will never be jarred. And leave the word of God adding to it or taking from it. And yet there's a man not far from here in New York State, and you know on his blackboard says, the fivefold ministry led the church to its death. I challenge that man as I challenged him before. Somebody's lying. Somebody's wrong. I said I didn't want to get personal. I can get very personal. Any minute I want. Not to hurt anybody, but to save you people. I'm talking to you because you are my responsibility as long as I'm in this pulpit. And I've got every right to warn and to exhort and lay this thing out so that on Judgment Day, you'll never say Lee Vale didn't teach it. You might say Lee Vale was pretty rough and mean, and I got mad. That's your tough luck, honey. You can get mad if you want. Not that I don't think you will. Anybody hold anything he wants. I don't worry about that. That's your business. I'm going to stick to the Word of God. It says these men can't do it. If you deny this, you deny the very blood of Jesus Christ. Because God lied about his blood if he lied about this. He said an evil tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. A good fruit. Neither can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit. He said it cannot be done. He said to them, he said, listen, make up your mind. What am I, good or evil? Some said this is the son of David. Some said he's Beelzebub. Why, some said he's doing works by God. Some said by the other. He said, make up your mind. So I got news to you. He said a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and an evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Now he said right here what these men are supposed to do. All right. Now let's find out about these men. Let's get God set them in the church. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. In that 13th chapter we read, in verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Let's cross it out of our Bibles. We don't like that. Why? Because we're a Laodicean church. We will not have this man rule over us, they said, through the crucified him. Same spirit. Now the word in the Bible, rule, is rule. Let's not kid ourselves. It means to lead and command. How do they rule? Who have spoken to you the word of God. If any man teacheth anything other than this word, he is Nicolaitan. Because he's trying to bind you to himself instead of God. Because when a man truly preaches the word of God and rules by it, he will bind them to nobody but God by the word. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their behavior. Verse 17, obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. How? By the word of God. As they that must give account, that they may do with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Verse 24, salute them, take them to your heart. The word for me is take to your heart. All them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy salute you. In the book of John, chapter 19, it reads, Jesus said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. The Roman Catholic Diaglot, or the Rheims translation of the Douay, says, rule my sheep, rule my sheep, rule my sheep. They're both wrong. It is feed my sheep, rule my sheep, feed my sheep. The sheep of God are ruled by the word of God. The sheep of God are fed by the rod, which is the word. And this word must be taught exactly as God gave it. And anybody who teaches anything other than the true word of God is a false shepherd. Jesus called him a false prophet. Why? Because a false prophet can do every genuine sign and wonder what the real prophet can do, but he doesn't have dust at the Lord, and he goes off that word. Right. Only Paul had dust at the Lord for the Gentiles. Only Moses had thus saith the Lord. Every Old Testament prophet had thus saith the Lord. Every man that brought this word here, except the chronologists, had thus saith the Lord. Every prophet bringing the word, God vindicated him. See? Now, I don't want to belabor this, but once the leaders of the church were respected, just like the preacher was respected, the mayor was respected, but there's no respect left anymore. And this spirit has overflowed even unto law-abiding citizens and within the church, where the clergy is no longer respected. I've had people walk up to me, especially one, and her opinion was just like many others. She said, you preachers had better quit preaching so we can put our tithes in case and send them around the world. said, well, I should quit preaching. She said, yeah. I said, can you find one scripture for it? She said, no. I said, you ever hear Brother Branham say? She said, no. I said, why do you say it? She said, because it's better to hear the tapes. We'll just send the tapes up. Well, I said, sister, I got news for you. I said, when I quit preaching once, God almost killed me. You want me to die? She didn't answer me. I said, will you stand in judgment? Supposing you're wrong and I listen to you, will you stand in judgment at that day because I quit preaching because you said you? She said, no. I said, sister, I'm going to tell you what I told you in Chicago. You've got a fat mouth and a thin ear. When the Bible said you ought to have a fat ear and a thin mouth because you're not supposed to do a lot of talking, you're supposed to do a lot of listening. And I said, about time, you stop. And I laid her over the coals. Then she said, well, Brother Dale, I don't mean men like you because you go around teaching. I said, sister, condemn me, you condemn everybody. Because I'm just one of the five old. But that spirit is in this group more than you think it is. I can take you to homes in Tucson right now and around the country where next door in the suite will be playing next to where I'm rooming, and I'll hear the tape saying, Brother Bass say, don't fail to go to church today. Well, that doesn't mean them. But they love the Lord. They love the message, they say. Now, what is that? That's anarchy. This is that spirit we're talking about. See? The spirit that we're talking about that started in the first church age, which ends in Laodicea, is the end-time harvest of sin. Now, let me explain it here. We go to the book of John. That's not the gospel, but the epistle of John, 1 John. Listen, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of law. That's the wrong translation. That's not true at all. Sin is not the transgression of law. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Now, listen to me. I'm going to surprise you. There is no such thing as lawlessness. Absolutely not. For there is nothing that does not depend upon the law. You say, this man is lawless because he killed somebody. Hogwash. He employed the law. Hit the guy hard enough on the head, he'll die. What you're thinking of is this. He did not abide by what was laid out before him to abide by, which do not strike your brother. No such thing as lawlessness. The Bible tells you that. All things were made by the Word of God, and all things are maintained by the Word of God. So the Bible does not say here, lawlessness, as though there is no law. You've got to understand what it's talking about. Now let's find out what it's talking about. This will really give us a help. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We're going to see this. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. That's not true. It's not iniquity. It's lawlessness. For the mystery of iniquity is already work, and lawlessness already works. Notice in verse 8, then shall that wicked be revealed. No, sir. Then shall that lawless one be revealed. The harvest of sin. A lawless man. A lawless man performing lying signs and wonders and controlling people. Lawless, my foot, there's a law behind him. What is it? Where did it start? Right back there in that first age when men begin to pervert the word. See? Just like Satan. Let's look at Satan over here. Because this man is Satan reincarnated. He was incarnated in Judas, you know. Let's go to Ezekiel, the 28th chapter. I hope I'm not bogging you down, am I? This is not really too much for you. I think this is really quite simple. Of course, I shouldn't have said that, because then if you're bogged down, it makes you think like this, sound like you're not getting simple things. I don't mean it that way. But you preach this thing the first time, the second time is that much clearer. By the time I preach it five times, it's just like eating cake. He's also crystal clear. And now listen, Ezekiel 28. He said here, in verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Now, who is this? This is Satan. What is the anointing? This word anointing is the same word that comes that Jesus had the anointing. They all had the anointing. But it's a little different. It comes from that word, but it means stretching forth the wings in authority. See? Now, lawlessness is in the people. Lawlessness is in the Antichrist. Lawlessness is in the devil. What did the devil do? He used every good thing that God gave him. He used his authority and all of these things, and he used it outside the framework of the Word of God and against God. See? Don't you see what this end-time church is doing? It claims to be worshiping God. It's using everything that God gave them, even gifts and signs in the Holy Ghost they're going to use, and they're going to bring it right to the feet of the devil. Not because I say so, because the Bible says so. Now, this lawless one, it is, as I say, men and women using the good things of God outside the framework of the Word. Women preachers, didn't God say to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Sure. Did the men go? They wouldn't go. What the women did? They went. Woman said that to me about 7-8 years ago. She said, Brother Ben, you men wouldn't go. Well, I said, now, sister, hold on. I said, don't count me in there, because I preach here in America. God never sent me anywhere. I've been preaching for years. Well, she said, maybe it doesn't apply to you so much, but she said it applies to a whole lot that wouldn't go. I said, sister, would you be surprised if you've done wrong? Now, let me quote you the Bible. The Bible said, pray the Lord of the harvester that he will send forth laborers. God never told you to go. He told you to pray and he would send them out. Why didn't you pray instead of going? They wouldn't do it. They don't care 2 cents for the Word of God. They're too busy serving God. Sure. That's right, they're too busy serving God. Not knowing they're trapped by the devil. Doing God a service apart from God's will. See, that's a tremendous statement. If you haven't heard the one in Shreveport, that's the one to hear. That's the best one of all. Doing God a service, preaching in Shreveport there in the clergy this breakfast on Saturday morning. See, lawlessness. There is no such thing as lawlessness in itself, because there's nothing without a law. Then what is it? It's taking what God laid down. As I said a while ago, God never made one evil thing. The Bible says there is nothing evil in itself. Nothing. You show me one thing that's evil in itself. You can't find it. The minute you do, you've made God a liar. You say thorns and briars. No, sure, there's a use out there for them somewhere, if it's just a plague you. God said so. There's nothing evil. There is nothing iniquitous in itself. All things are pure to the pure in heart. When we come back in the millennium, what's the millennium going to be? It's going to be identical to what it is now, except for buildings and things. It's going to be this little earth that renovated right here as the flood renovated the earth in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, this world was so corrupt, and they were so corrupt like it is today, the earth could not purify itself. Animals get diseases and they can't get healed. We get diseases and we can't get healed. The earth was so wicked and rotten, with atomic ash and bombs and things. God brought a flood. He let the water come down there like a chunk of ice. Hit your wham, slam. It caused such a pressure that it froze Macedon. Froze them so solid in Siberia, you could catch a piece of flesh off right now and fry it. The grass is green in your mouth, but they're covered with maybe 20 feet of silt. What did God do? He laid the silt by the water down to purify the earth. Next time he's going to purify it by process of sterilization by fire. So you go out here, when we'll walk upon the ash of the wicked, we're going to walk here among beautiful green trees and shrubs and flowing waters. Proving there's nothing evil in itself. What man does with it. What you do with it. See? So what we've got a man of sin at the end time. What's he going to do? He's going to bring about a complete perversion. Now how's it going to be done? Well, it's going to be done according to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. And this is a chapter God took Brother Branham to. But he never would read past about verse 4. Let's look at it. I charge thee therefore before God, 2 Timothy 4, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, not a season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That word in the Greek is healthy. The word restore means to bring back to health. So therefore the Bible says at the end time, they will not endure the restored word of God. They can't take it. They won't endure it. In other words, it's going to be a pressure on them. People right now today are saying, well, Brother Dale, we ought to have this. We ought to have this. There's something missing. According to what the prophet taught, there is nothing missing. He said, when those 7 spheres opened, you were given everything to put the bride in the rapture. They cannot get in their hearts and minds. It is this word that counts. It is not character. So don't be fooled by it. Now, sure, a man ought to have character. Even a dog ought to have character to send obedience rules. But it's not that by itself.
It is not a gift ministry. There is only one thing that H has that no other H has. Otherwise, there would have been a rapture a long time ago. It's the restored, revealed Word of God, Christ appearing amongst the bride by the descended Word. See? This is what people fail to realize. They always want to look backward to Pentecost. Pentecost is finished. The life has gone out of the shuffle into the wind. People looking for ministries that I had years ago and God took away. I went to the prophet and asked him why they went away. He said, because the age of the gift is over. He said, the age is on. He said, the age of the move is on for the bride. What is that move? To move right into the Word. The complete headship of Jesus Christ. When you've got the Word and know what to do with it. Far superseding anything. Christ appearing and manifested in the bride, see? But they don't want that. That's too tame. Now listen. The time will come when they will not endure healthy doctrine. They won't endure the revealed Word of God. But after their own lust, their own pleasures, their own desires, their own wants. That word lust is too strong. It fools you. Makes you think they're like a bunch of whoremongers out there messing around. That's not it at all. This word is pleasures in the Greek. Pleasures. Their own pleasures. What they want. Shall heap to themselves. Heap. Everything that comes along, they'll just grab and heap it up there. Teachers having itchy ears. The teacher does not have an itchy ear. He's got an itchy mouth. If the people got itchy ears, they want to be scratched. They want to hear it. They want to hear. See? In other words, they want the kind of a man that they want.
Sure.
If a showdown came today, I would lose out with many preachers on the field right today because I preach this Word of God hard and tough and to the point, and they go sweet, 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 sweet. And then tell them a bunch of lies. I challenge you before God. I challenge anybody in this room. You find one place I ever preached a prophet's message without word after word after word and back it up. I'm not trying to vindicate myself, but I know a whole lot of guys who don't. And the people... Cowboy. Run after them. Teach themselves teachers because they got itchy ears. They want their standards. I don't know what they do with David. Rougher in a cough. 500 wives and lusting after another woman. Literally rapes her, takes her, because who's going to deny the king? She can't stop being taken by the king. He's the king. So she had lovely little feelings toward him, and she wanted him gratified. That suited her fine. But supposing she was a virtuous woman, said, listen, king, keep your hands on me. He'd say, who are you trying to talk to, the king? What kind of guy was David? Bloody. Man after dog's own hunt. Now that sure doesn't sound like anybody we pick. I'm not saying now go and follow a guy that's a mess. God judged David. God penalized David. He never ever forgot that sin. That was before him day and night. And he paid a price, and his wives paid a price, and the nation paid a price. So you're going to turn on David and say, well, I can't stand that skunk poop. Well, I figure I'm a bit of a bounder, but I'd never do that. That's right, you wouldn't. You wouldn't get what God gave David either, so let's face that one down. Huh? That's what a word is. See, we've got to come to a place where either this is right or it's wrong. I'm not going to preach something the prophet didn't preach. Brother Branham categorically said and it slapped my face both sides when he said it is not character. When he said that fine theologian, my foot, was Lee Vale, came to him and said it's got to be character. Ain't character. Don't mistake. We're not against character. You've got to have character. But that will not put you in it. Now, these people, they want their own way. I can preach this. I can teach this. But they'll still let men come around and fool them. They don't wash feet anymore. Don't take communion. Get the Word of God and prove it. Get the Word and prove it. Brother Branham said, you take communion as a memoriam to this message. I can show you where Paul said the same thing, 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Look on the church order tape, it's the same thing. Now listen, they want these teachers, and it says they shall turn away from the truth and turn unto fable. What's a fable? Mostly we think of Esau's fable. It's a story with a moral to it. Now remember, this book does not have a moral to it. This book is life. And remember, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You turn this book to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil from the tree of life the minute you take one thing from what the prophet said, or you put your own interpretation on it. It's no longer the tree of life. No longer that. It won't give you life. It'll kill you. I said it, and I'll say it again. It's far better to never having heard this message than to have heard and said you believe it, and then turn and get yourself a preacher because you've got to make your ear. Because this is a once-for-all message. The Bible said, you turn it down, there is no room for repentance. You've had your last chance. You never make it. That's why I say I'm stuck with this message. If this message doesn't go, I don't go. If this message go, I go. There's no place to turn. You're finished. Because it's an absolute committal to the Word of God, and you're not ashamed of it. You'll stand up every day in the week. In fact, I'm proud of this message because I couldn't say anything else like this message if I searched so many years. And I'm very, very strong for fundamental community churches. And if I were to start my own church, not knowing what this message does for us, I would absolutely endorse it as the middle-of-the-road message. The only message I could teach in the Word of God. I couldn't teach anything else. Because that's my nature. Honest. I'm not claiming you have any decent nature now. I'm just telling you, I cannot understand how anybody would turn this aside, but they're going to do it. They're going to want women preachers and short hair and slacks and this kind of thing and that kind of thing, you know, and perverted word. No, you're going to have eternal hell to scare you into heaven. That's great, isn't it? That's great. Any psychologist knows that's the biggest farce in the world. Boy, I could tell you some things right now, but I won't bother. Because you know them yourself and you stop thinking about it. And it says they'll turn away their ears from the truth. Why? Because they've got preconceived ideas of what they want in a preacher. Preconceived ideas. Got their own idea, all preconceived. They don't want the Word of God. They turn away. Now, notice what it says in 5 and 8. So watch thou in all things, and endure affliction, do the work of evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and Brother Branham, one night before he died, he said, you read the rest of it. He was telling us it was ready to go. Just like Paul, he had brought us the fully revealed God. The word ministry was over. I think I taught that message here on the present truth. It's in there. How the word came forth. And then every time the word came forth, the messenger went. Gone. God took him. Brother Branham said, God gave you faith a messenger in order to judge the nation. He judged the people. So Brother Branham knew, like Paul, that he was going to go. See, he knew his going was imminent. And now he said, don't you be fooled. See? By those preachers. But they get fooled anyway. Now, today people are denying the fivefold ministries, I said. They go off in groups and fight God's ordained ministry. Now, don't think they don't, because they do. They do, because I can take you all around America and show you where people have separated themselves from the body of believers and they're fighting the fivefold ministry. They say, all you do is hear tapes. Well, God never raised up tapes. Brother Branham said the food was on tape. And the last sermon he preached in California, he commissioned the preacher to take what he said and break it down and feed the poor. So if he lied, then he lied every place else. See? If they claim he's a prophet. If they claim he's the worst Friday. Then they turn around and they want what they want. And they go to the preacher and they say, don't you have that fellow in the church? See? They go off in groups. That's what they do. They do not want God's ordained elders, though the word demands it. Now, not just the fivefold ministry now, but who's ordaining elders? Yes, Paul commanded it. And the Bible warns them that they should have elders. And those elders are ordained to rule the church, which is keep the church in order. See? Let's go over here to 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, and see this. But you tell people they don't want it. If any man believe himself, no, see, verse 17 I should have, yeah, 22. Let the elders that will, notice, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Yet you know a lot of people in the church will save up their money until a preacher comes by to give it to him and they won't support the man that God ordained to be amongst them. Or they'll send it someplace. Yeah. And yet they're supposed to be believers. God even allows an elder that's raised up who does nothing but full-time ministry of the word, and he's not even five-fold member. He's an elder. God says, you are allowed the tithe to live on. He's worthy of double honor. You support him. But they won't even do that. When they've got legitimate God-sent pastors that Brother Branham recognized, they'll send their money someplace else or wait for a preacher to come by and give them. or you'll send your tithe for books. And Brother Branham said, you can't even, if I was starving, he said, and had 25 cents of God's tithe, I can't even spend on a loaf of bread for myself. It doesn't go to widows. It doesn't go to maintain the church. It doesn't pay light bills. It doesn't pay charity. It doesn't build buildings. It's one thing, if that's for the upkeep of the ministry. And he said, the faithful ministry takes in the tithe, all of the tithe, and he uses only what he needs personally for his family itself, then the rest goes to the other ministry. Now, who's doing it? I want to know who's doing it in America. I want to know. Before God, I stand here, I want to know who's doing it. I want to know. It won't hurt any elders. The people do with God's money what they want. Yet the Bible said, if you do not do right by what is not yours, which is God's tithe, God will not commit you to true riches. And yet they say they're truly in the Word of God, they're true seed of God, and they won't even do right by a dollar bill. And when Brother Brown died, they were too busy trying to hand him the money to look good, and they forgot the men out there laboring, and so they couldn't go on the field because the Bible said you're to send them out there. Now, where are the people they got the oldest in? And they say they believe the message, but they're the oldest in. They don't care what the Word of God says. They got their own ideas. Never mind what the prophet said. That doesn't suit them. Sit on it. Let's take what he does say. If you believe the prophet, you're bright. Oh, yeah? Oh, hogwash. What do you believe? I may sound rough here, but yeah, I've got no recriminations, and I'm not angry, and I'm not bitter. I've been all through it, honey. I've been all through year after year, where I was bypassed. I never got one plug nickel from it. I laid everything on the altar, trusting God. Year after year, for about 8 solid years, we paid 20% of our growth to make sure God was blessed. Today, I'm out of debt. I don't own a house. I got a pretty well run-down car. If I, one of us got sick, we'd be bankrupt. But I'm not looking to get sick. And I'm not worried about a home. I believe God because I've been faithful to God, and He cannot fail. I don't worry about people anymore. They can do what they want. But I'm here preaching and showing you what the Bible teaches, because I've studied this thing now for years, watching it. Laodicea, Nicolaita. It's got to both come at the end time, because one doesn't die and the other takes over. They're both there. Nothing dies. My brother Brown said, the man's spirit doesn't die, comes right back. Man dies, spirit doesn't die, comes right back. That's both with God and the devil. That's right. Elijah's spirit came back on Elijah and John the Baptist, and William Branham comes back again. 5 times. The spirit of the devil came on Judas and jumped back at the Antichrist. Absolutely. Man's spirit doesn't die, the man dies. See? People won't do what God tells them to do. He said he's worthy of double honor because he works in doctrine and deed. And they won't do what the scripture says. You bring the tithe where you're fed. This has nothing to do with you people here. This is just part of my message. That's all. I'll preach this any place at all. But I know what they do further. Then these same preachers, and not even preachers even, they will get between the pastor and the people. How do you like that one? Yeah. They repudiate the man that God raised up. They vilify him. They will hold their money and jeer at him while doing it. Then they give it to somebody else. And then they let somebody else come in and get between them and the pastor. And the men that allow this call themselves believers in Brother Branham's ministry. I have a case right now in Ohio where a man came between the ordained elder and the people by accusing the elder of not liking him, so he'll not go to his church anymore, but he said, I'll be preaching down the road. You come and hear me there. Don't think I'm lying, but I'm not. That's what you got in this minute. You got all of it. And they say they believe. Now you know why Brother Branham said there's 700 making, there's 500 making. If one out of a state makes it. And I'm not talking now about people who keep their TVs and don't make your kids wear proper clothes and everything else and allow this to go and that to go and think they're serving God. No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm just talking about one measly little thing anybody can do. If they had any respect, any decency, any ethics. No, they got anarchy in their soul. They're rebellious. They want to run things. They defy the authority that God laid down in His constituted ministry. Samuel got all broken up. He went to God, and God said, step aside, Samuel, and just quit your ball. He said, they have not rejected you, they've rejected me. These Jesus said, you reject whom I say, you reject me. And I know people going around and they deliberately get between the pastor and the people.
You're supposed to know the word. Just one fellow said, Brother Branham was that mighty angel of Revelation 10 that came down from heaven standing on land and sea. Hogwash. Brother Branham said it was the Lord Jesus Christ.
That he's sweet.
So, no. People watch what he's doing. Oh, that doesn't happen. So sweetly we go to hell, eh?
How'd you like to end up in the lake of fire with a man that was sweet?
And the prophet told you, and I say if he came to your house here and taught you, yes, he should be sweet. Yes, he should be a gentleman. Yes, he should have character.
But what can he do? Only he still sweet.
Have you ever seen a man who wasn't sweet when he had a sex act with a woman? I'm talking about seduction now. Oh, I'm going to marry you, honey.
It's all right, baby. Well, yeah, dead. Oh, man.
I'm going to eat your arm off. Oh, boy, he knows the art of seduction.
Oh, certainly.
Now, if he's going to rape her, that's different. But there's not much rape going on. It's all seduction, because that's where it's starting to turn.
Now, after she's left pregnant and messed up, now the seduction's not so funny.
Or does she say, oh, he was so sweet and so cute, I'd go shoot again. Oh, does she?
That's dirty, rotten.
Too late when you wake up in the wrong place. I'm not saying a man should be a brute. He should be very seductive when he's married to his wife.
The quintessence of it, absolutely. He's just so much the lover all the time, sure. I agree with these things. But I want you to see this thing here. We are depending on this word, my brother, my sister. We are married to the word. This is what we're talking about. Either this is what William Branham taught, or I don't know what he taught. I searched, I prayed, I watched, and I've looked what he said. And I can only draw one conclusion.
And that's the conclusion he gave us to draw, because there's no other conclusion you can draw. Stick with his word.
Remember the church ages, where he says when they came to those apostles, and they said, listen, you're false apostles, because you're not staying with Paul. He said, my, that was fact, but that was good.
And do people do that today?
Oh, not if he's sweet. I'm so glad I'm so ugly and act so mean.
If you follow me as a personality, because you're sicker than I am, because I can't stand myself, I tried to commit suicide and I 16 dogs with men. You'd be sicker than I am. Sure, I make a living preaching because I've got to, because I can't be on the road and do another job at the same time. I admit that. God supplies all my needs but his people. But I'm honest as I can be tonight, as let God be my judge. I believe this word the best I know how and preach it according to what he said the best I know how. And I don't add one word to take one verse the best I know how. And I don't draw the false conclusions. I say what he said, and I got the scripture to back it up. I'm not going to say it. He told us to break it down. See, this Laodicean spirit is such that many deny local authority and claim to listen to outside preachers that gets between them and the shepherd. I said that, and they do it. We've got a lot of that in America. Did you know the world's being cut up in this message now? One man's got America. He just told us on a date. Another man told me he's got Europe. And another fella says he's got India. So I'm waiting to find out who's got Africa. The fella that thought he had it, he made a false prophecy. He didn't pan out. Jesus didn't come take the rapture in this year, February, like he said, so that put him in the doghouse. But I'm waiting now to see who's got South America and Australia. Now, me, I haven't got any of it. I don't want any of it. You couldn't give it to me. Not in those old shelves. I don't want one part of anything until it comes back renovated and I come back with it. But this is my good fortune by election through grace in Jesus Christ to be a part of it. I don't want any part of what's going on now. I don't want any part of it. I want to get out. But they've carved up the word now.
Yeah.
And they sell people the bill of goods. They're not doing what Brother Branham did. Oh, big show, sure. They get people saying, you've got to listen to them, and you'd be surprised how far-fetched it is. You'd be surprised. Listen, I'm telling you, I can mention names if I wanted to.
I can quote you names right now, what they said. And you better listen to them. Oh, how they tell you they believe Brother Brown, but they don't quote what Brother Brown said. They got their own rules. They got to lay down. But the people like that. Because they don't like Brother Brown said. I stand as a witness this is happening. And the men who do it enjoy it. Sure. Brother Branham didn't. He never did it that way. He took his stand, and he was always for the pastor. Brother Branham got a vision from God because he wasn't always for the pastor. I was against the pastor myself. I set up with a bunch of birds. I was pastoring, but I set up with a whole bunch of them. I said, Brother Branham, all they do is cut your throat. They make a spectacle out of you. I said, you don't need those guys. I said, let me put on a meeting for you. And I did it too. In Lima, Ohio. I pastored the First Baptist Church in those days, in this town outside of Lima. We prayed for day after day. We prayed chain prayer from 6 in the morning to 10 at night, and began week after week every night praying. And when Brother Branham got there, I did the preaching in the afternoon, led the song service at night, no one on the platform of Brother Branham and me. I got off the platform, he ministered. My, how God moved us. The first time in 5 years and the last time since the gift of healing operated, 50 miracles one night just like that. Everybody called out, the audience was healed. Did you go down there? And there wasn't one missed that I know of, and many were healed that didn't even look for healing. What do you mean? I proved that he didn't need anybody. He could stand alone with God. So I tried to tell him that. He said, no, no, won't work. Because God done told me, I cannot work apart from the pastor. Now, here's these people running around the country, and they don't mind cutting the pastor's throat. They don't mind leading the people away from the pastor. One fella got up and he said, I want to tell you folks, he said, I'd be a hypocrite if I ever told you a lie. I'm going to tell you that. If I told you a lie, I would not be a hypocrite. I'd be sincerely mistaken. Because even Brother Branham was not a hypocrite, and he was sincerely mistaken when he said the white horse rider was Jesus Christ. He was sincerely mistaken and not a hypocrite when he said the evidence of the Holy Ghost was love. Until the Lord changed it, said it's not. Now, is this man greater than Brother Branham? Now, he said, if I told you wrong, I'd be. Now, he said, I can't associate with you preachers, he said, because, you see, if I know what you preach, and then I get in your pulpit, and I correct your mistakes, he said, and I knew the Holy Ghost would agree. In other words, he's saying, you pastors, you ain't got nothing but I have. Now, when I come to your church, I'm going to put you in. Listen, I want you to get this. William Branham himself was neither a prophet, nor an apostle, nor a teacher, nor a pastor, nor evangelist, a fivefold minister. He was not. Because he came and put the church in order. If he was merely one of those fivefold ministers, then he was a Nicolaitan and came over it. He was nothing but a blind, ignorant elder with the gift of false prophet to deceive it. Because nobody but nobody stands over anybody. The pastor is the supreme authority in local assembly. And nobody comes in and says one word to him. The only man could do was William Branham, because he was, like Paul, a prophet word messenger. He was not a part of the fivefold ministry. He was 100% above it. Yet these men have no fear to come along. And the people sit back. And they say, well, I know he's teaching wrong. Why is it like the first church age? You go and say, brother, you're wrong. Oh, they said, you can't bear an accusation against another. This is not an accusation. This is a statement of fact. You said this. Brother Branham did not say, why are you saying this? Is it an accusation if I take a hammer and hit this recorder here in front of you? Well, I wouldn't dare accuse Brother Bale of breaking that rule. You see, what I saw him, but I wouldn't dare. Find him over here and said, I said, shut your rotten, filthy mouth, you harlot. You heard me say it. He got this. Oh, well, I knew Brother Bale said it, but no, that'd be shooting back. You got it. Huh? I'm smiling a bit now. I don't think I'm too mean. I want you to get my point, because I am not cooling in this thing here. What is the matter with people? That is not an accusation. An accusation is when you hear something and you believe it is true and nothing's been done about it, then you come and do something. And then that'll be in the mouth of two people. When a thing is done publicly and right out in the open, and it's absolutely contrary, what accusation is that? That ain't no accusation. You're not accusing anybody. Why, I don't know what people think of these things. Lord, either I'm crazy or somebody else. It's quick preaching. There is no authority outside the local church, or it is Nicolaitan. You follow me? There is no authority. If you were a group here big enough to ordain yourself an elder, even you could not ordain one. You'd have to have one of the brethren come by that's invested to do, because Paul said, if anything you do it, the congregation does not do it. And you have faith in that man, and that man examines the men and picks up an elder, then you must follow him and love him and care for him and do everything you can. And from that minute on, he is the authority. And if he does not want any preacher in that pulpit outside of him, that is his business. Because he is going to have to guard and warn. And if he doesn't, God will remove him. You are too run foul. People are afraid to trust God, that's whole trouble. See? I'm not going to blame them there, because it's hard to trust God at times. I wouldn't be too sincere if I had a job trusting God too. So we got to learn to trust him. There was a church had trouble not long ago. The pastor got into the sin of immorality, you know. He made the terrible mistake of trying to cover up when he should have made it all clean. I went up to try to put the church and the pastor on an evil team, even here. I begged them to make a complete state of restoration amongst him and the church. I said, I know it's a terrible condition. I know you've been bruised, and don't think I haven't been. But I said, listen, the Bible said restore. Can I depend on one church to do what God said? Just once can I find a church to do what God said. I couldn't find a church. Greater than you think. The spirit of this world has got a whole lot more to do with it. I'm not burdened down to faith. I'm truly judging myself and say, well, let's forget it all and throw up a hand. I'm only painting the picture the way it is. For the fact that we must be on our guard and understand that it's the word that counts. It is not personality. You say, well, I love Brother Bill. I think he's real sweet. That has not a thing to do with it. What's the word I'm teaching? Now you say, well, I'll tell you what. Well, Brother Bill said the truth, but he could sure put it nicer. How do you know I could? You don't know my nature. Why don't you look prettier? I don't see any woman here going to win a beauty contest, and you men sure wouldn't stand up as any world figure. Oh, what about it? See, now that's how silly it is. God, listen, it's so good. You would not listen. You're lying, and you know it. You wouldn't want the truth of earth. I don't mean you as a people here now, but I mean that's the principle. You wouldn't want, they don't want the truth of earth, right? You sure wouldn't find it hard to scrabble in 6 feet of hog manure to get out a 2-carat diamond. Oh, no. You may have to use lye in your hand for the next 3 weeks and smelling water and else to get the smell of the pig manure off your hand. But you got that 2-carat diamond. But you say, all right, I can't stand that guy. Oh, sure, he tells the truth. That's right. He had. I never caught him ever yet. I can't put a finger on him. But, oh, he's hung. And fall for some mealy-mouthed guy who's down the drain. Huh? What's that, Peter? I just can't figure it. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old, my brain's hard. Any authority in the church not ordained by God, but assumed by the people of Laodicea. Who ever heard of a pulpit committee? Ha! The people get a pulpit committee. The people do this, the people do that. Said, then why did Brother Branham say he's an elected pastor? Because it's a Laodicea. You're not going to bug God. God said it's going to happen. Tell me that the Holy Ghost can be in the majority, sure, when he comes and goes, that's true. I don't deny what he says, I believe it. But where do people assume authority, see? Now listen, what am I driving at? Both comes to a head in this age. The Nicolaitan concept of the church being run by the clergy and they forming the creeds and the dogmas, the people rise up and they say, this is what we want, it's like a union. And the unions go and tell the boss what to do. Listen, I want to tell you, I'm not against unions all the way. But I cannot appreciate a man who belongs to a union and will not come to honest grips with himself that it costs every investor in that company $5,000 to $50,000 of hard-earned cash to give him a job. And then he says, well, I can do what I want. The guy's making a profit. Then he runs and tells the boss what he wants done. Now, I know the Bible's against, not against the working man. It's against the guy that robbed the working man. I know that. That's why I said I'm careful when I talk about union. But I was likening the union to the church. The church members rise up and say, this is what we want, and this is how we're going to run it. The Word of God says, this is what you do. The people say, now that's not the way you want. We want it our way. See? We think that the organization, that we think the tithe ought to make the building. Or the Pentecost assemblies to God. ever preach here. They say, all of you preachers, you send us your tithe. Where is that coming about? They lay down the rules and dogmas, and they say, listen, I'll tell you what, you subscribe to this thing, we kick you up. But what does the church do now? They owe to see us. They say, look, Pastor, we've taken enough from you from all these years. From now on, you're going to listen to us. All you guys are up there fighting the puzzle. You've had your seminaries for years. You Methodists fight the Lutherans and the Baptists and so on, so I'll tell you what, we're taking over now. And you're doing it. You're going to preach if you want to. So they say, now who's going to preach this week? You're going to have some preacher in this week preaching? Yeah, I'm going to have some church telling. Well, I won't be coming. Yeah, I don't agree with him. I thought we came to church to worship God. From Laodicea, as the people turning down the word and they want their way, see, they both come to a head. And the Bible said they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They put the preachers under such pressure that the preachers are scared to preach. Well, may God help me, that may never be my case. Of course, I have this great advantage, I'm not a pastor. God never called me the pastor because I don't have that nature. You can tell that by the way I preach. I don't have the nature to take these boring fashion by the hand and sit them down. I say, look, what you guys talking about? I don't say, now, I appreciate your side. I appreciate your side. That. I say, by the time they get away here, they're both mad. Worse than ever. They're both negative, they love each other and hate me now. I'd be honest, I have absolutely no spiritual ability as a pastor. I was never called a pastor. I hurt myself terribly by passing. I should never have pastored. I tore up the heat with the tears. Oh, yeah. I'm not kidding, huh? I laugh about it, but I don't mean to laugh about it. It's serious, because Brother Branham told me I did. I know I did. Never should have pastored. He said, you're no pastor like this. Been on the road about 13 years now. He's not a pastor. But I know their problems having pastored. I know what's going on. And I would not want to get between any pastor and congregation, except I would build a pastor up and build a congregation up. I need them both to the word of necessary, but to come and correct the pastor, isn't it? What kind of nonsense is that? If that man of God is a true pastor, I wouldn't correct him on anything. I'd be saying the same thing he's saying, maybe different ways, leading a little further down this line, leading a little further down this line. Together we're building up the body of Christ. But I come along and I say, well, now, I may have to correct him. Well, you put him right down there as an elder from the devil. You put him right down there as a man outside. What kind of big talk is that? What kind of pride is that in a man? I wonder what happened to his little child. Did he get some kind of complex from his parents? Or the kids at school? Or has he got a devil that makes him want to be some big shot? What makes men want to be big shots? Rule over anybody? The only authority is the word of God in the mouth of the pastor. Now he's got to be real sweet and kind to get the people jawing along so they get doing the word. There's no authority outside of his word. Yet men want it. And now look at it. Then the people want it. What do you people want except this word? If you are born again bride members, you don't want anything but this word. The prophet has caused a difference, and I will put everything aside for the word. This is my one mission. This is my one goal. Everything comes after this word. We sat in Tampa, Florida in 1964, in the spring, having breakfast. He said, Brother Bale, I must have around me those men who will let me be and do the work that I commit them to do. And then let me be. My job is ready. I could not do it. I had to be with him. But if you're just going to manage to do this or preach, sure, go ahead and do it. But how could I write unless I asked him what he meant? I'd have written the biggest shemalt you ever saw in that church age book. Instead of that book being accurate, it would have been the worst thing that ever hit this generation. It would have been doing the greatest disservice that God could have allowed done amongst the bride. Some people believe that. That's their business, not mine. Brother Branham said the book was accurate, and that's all I need to know. Because I know it was, or what he told me to write. But he wanted people around him, just leave alone. He said, Lee, my thoughts are all thoughts from God. He said, I cannot even go home hardly. Lest I have a thought and they disrupt it, and it may take me a month to get that thought back. And when he said, I cannot be around my wife, I love her so. They said, oh yeah, he's so sexy. What in the world is the matter with people anyway? What is the matter with them? These people that call themselves congregations, to say they don't have a Laodicean spirit, they are as full of anarchy as a hippie on the street that throws a bomb at the coffin, calls them a pig. Maybe they're worse. Because they come across the knowledge of truth and turned it down. Anarchy within the pew. Hardly a church I go to, but you find
Well, your preacher's standing up here trying to take some big authority. Keep on chanting, your brother Brandon made me do. Brother Brandon made me do.
A guy rode down the road to me one day and discussed his book. He said, well, he said, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know that I ever heard Brother Brandon ever say anything, anybody ever to do books with you and me. I never heard him ever talk about him doing it.
He wants to do it all. I didn't care about the books. Anybody could do it, be my guest. Do books.
I wanted to get books in the first place because Brother Branham couldn't find anybody to do them. I wanted them done because I knew he wanted them done.
No big deal. You think I'd preach if I could get out of it?
And saddle myself with all that?
No.
What would a man of God want with that? I don't believe in the things that are being done for God. But listen, brother, sister, there's many a man going to stand at judgment day and say, I did this, I did that. I had a great ministry. Isn't it true you folk up there listen? You're my witnesses. On the white throne judgment day, there'll be witnesses by the thousands to stand before those men. And you'll call them by name and say, wasn't it true that now your mother was healed because I prayed?
That's right, sir.
Wasn't it true that you were healed and devils cast out of you?
That's right.
Weren't you turned from a drunkard under my ministry to serve God?
That's right.
And God still says, you talk to me, you that work in it. Now where is your big thing gone now?
You got to learn these things.
We're not, no wonder Brother Branham cried. The people are, that we are not serious and sober enough.
Well, like it was in the road to Emmaus when Jesus, the Jesus himself, the resurrected Christ in flesh came back and stood before them and it sounded like idle men say it. They said, fellow, you got to be a stranger in these parts.
Didn't you hear about this fellow called Jesus? We thought he was a great prophet. In fact, we even thought he was Messiah. He said, done crucified him and laid him away.
And he said,
then he opened the scripture.
They said, oh boy, that's that. Well, I don't know. I just haven't seen him.
I'm in a fog.
Revelation of God's word. How can this be if people allow that wrong spirit upon them? They ought to see him nigger later.
You see? And both must come to a head this age. You've got the preachers fighting to maintain their position and the people fighting to take over.
Now, don't tell us it's not going to come to us because Brother Branham told us it was. He wasn't preaching down there to Joe Bush and the Assembly of God or to the first Baptist that's been dead for 200 years. He already told them off. He said, you denied talking in tongues. You denied the Holy Ghost power. You denied it all. That wipes you out. Then he turned to Pentecost. He said, you practice these things. But he said, you got a wrong spirit on you.
Where does that leave the bride?
That leaves the bride one place, obeying what the prophet said by his word and sticking with it.
See, we must walk very softly. That we be swallowed up in the whirlpool of condemnation that is here when those who say they believe the message. Could affect me, affect you. Paul said, I myself could be a castaway. The Bible said, let him the Santa take heed lest he fall.
You think for one minute I'm building myself and say, well, Brother Dale sure must be a strong person, got this and that. No, sirree. I've been called to exhort, to warn, rebuke, as the scripture says. These things that I know and see. And may God help me not to become a part of the very thing I condemn. Lest I be lifted up and tried to what I'll see. I've been tried and pretty good so far. Well, I think I'll make it. No, you've got to watch it. But I'm not beyond getting between the people and the pastor. I'm not beyond making myself somebody. I'm a human being. I'm not God manifesting the flesh. Jesus was. Even Moses failed to glorify God. He glorified himself, so.
I'm not putting it that way. I put this as a warning to all of us.
See, preachers and all.
For if we are a part of anything save what God has ordained, and if we back up anything except what he gave us, we are Antichrist.
I'm not Antichrist, sure.
He is not for me to make it.
Where do you stand in the Word?
Oh, sure, that sounds kind of silly. Where do you stand in the Word? That's the old, this old letter stuff, old Baptist.
Oh, no, Christ is the Word, brother. Christ is the Word.
Not a matter of just saying, well, this old book here, no.
Not at all.
That's not what we say. Now, if I betray the very message I have given you, and I take authority between the people and the shepherds, and I try to make myself something, I'm as Nicolaitan as any man ever was. If I get the believers, you know, get the believers, or get between them, and cause any feeling,
right.
If I come and rouse up any feeling, which would draw you on my side, whether I'm inspired by hate or what you think is love and treatment, I'm as Nicolaitan as they come. I am nothing but a mercenary antichrist. I betrayed the ministry. I am not one of the fivefold. I have proven I'm an elder.
One of those that God said was raised up just like he was in order to bring it out of all. Now, I've said this concerning myself, and that's the truth. I have only one judge, and that is the Word. And you have one judge, and that is the Word. Where do we stand tonight? See? If I refuse to walk in accord with the law of God, in my local brotherhood, I'm Laodicean. Oh, I believe the message of that, but I won't worship with you. Laodicean. You don't know you're claiming you're not, because you are. The prophet told his own son to go to church. One morning he came, went through the front door, kicked in the bedroom door and said, "Get up and get out of bed and go to church." He said, "Daddy, what church?" He said, "Any church. But don't ever let me catch you in bed Sunday morning." The people came. You say, "Well, didn't Brother Banfield do that?" Well, that, you didn't understand it. He's got to be revealed to you. What's a greater revelation than kicking the bedroom door of your own son where he's sleeping with his wife and kick him out of bed and put him in church? That's the greatest revelation I know. Like one of the best ways to see stars is when your boy bends over, hit him with a club with a stick so hard you'll see stars. They may go from one end to the other end, but you'll still see stars. That's the best revelation I know if you mean business. What more could the prophet do? When he pulled him out of bed, he said, "Now, son, I just said that. You can go back to bed now, so can you?" But they'll tell you, "No, you don't need fellowship." Now, where do we stand? Jesus said the Word will judge us. At the end time, Christ must judge the church at his appearing, which appearing has already taken place by the Word, and we're being judged by the Word right tonight. Where do we stand? We know how far we are. See? We use every excuse. Brother, sister, excuses won't count. It's not going to work. It means that word. It is time to get back to God by the Word. Not by song and dance and speaking in tongues, that's fine. But to get back by the Word. Let us examine our hearts in this matter. It is too late to be frivolous. Because I think we are too frivolous. It is time to wake up and to put this word first. This word comes everywhere. Now, if I've taught you wrong tonight, I'm sorry. But I don't believe I've taught you wrong. As far as I'm concerned, I know I have not taught you wrong. Because everything I have said, I got from the tape. And I got from this word of God. And this word of God cannot be denied. Brother Branham said at this end time Elijah would restore his word. He said the evidence of having the Holy Ghost would be to recognize what God is doing in your day. I submit to you tonight that people after people I come in contact are not aware of what God is doing at this moment, which is letting the seed lie in the sun until the bride and the word are one, and the bride has the word and knows what to do with it. Today, the people do not know, and therefore they do not have thus saith the Lord. But when God himself, which is that capstone love, which is the full anointing of the Holy Ghost, becoming one with the Word and us, every inlet of this soul will then be plugged up, and the bride will know, have the Word and know what to do with it, and she'll be doing it. And they won't be saying, "Well, I empty a hospital. I don't know what she'll be doing. I've been accused of believing that there's something coming, because I will not step out and say what the prophet has not said. The prophet said the bride would have thus saith the Lord, and that's all I know." Now, let us just put it this way. Supposing there's a dear little sister, and God said, "Thus saith the Lord to her, you go and pray and fast. Hide your face for 3 days." But he said to some great, big, fine, upstanding man in the church, "You go down there and there's 16 people need healing. Thus saith the Lord." Which is more "thus saith the Lord"? Where the people get healed or the woman goes in the prayer closet? There's no difference. "Thus saith the Lord" is "thus saith the Lord." I don't know what it is. But Brother Branham said it will not be emptying hospital. The third pole will be to the entire loss of the world. The best I can trace it is when the third pole goes into effect in the bride, they'll be coming and saying, "This is what we've always wanted. We want it too." It'll be too late. Because mortality will have put on immortality. The thing of death, which is sin, will have been put to one side. We will have been washed by the pure washing of the water by the word. The covenant, God's word, will not only be here, it'll be here and here. We will be here.
What does that mean? I don't know. I've been a human being for 55 years, pretty soon 50 years. I still don't know what it's all about. And how can I know what this was all about? You say to the dog, dog, what's it all about? I've been a dog all my life. I still don't know. You might kick me or pat me. You've been human beings all your life. Tell me what it's about. Tell me, what did you learn? You say, what I have learned is nothing to what I should know. What I've done is nothing to what I might possibly do. But I'm in this place. And that's what I see where we are now. You got to wait on God. He said, don't go out there reaching. So preachers, that's us, whoever preaches, that's me. Don't make yourself somebody when you're not. And people, don't try to be what God hasn't called you to be. He's called us to one mind by the Word. This is the whole criterion to me. Be satisfied with it. Be happy with it. Do your best to love each other, the prophet said. To love each other doesn't mean to take things lying down where you don't want anybody to see you. Jesus, Brother Branham said, compassion is doing what Jesus did. Love is doing what Jesus did. One time he took a cat of nine tails and fucked him out of the den. Well, we better know what we're doing to do something like that. I don't advocate that Jesus did it. That was his thing. He didn't tell us to do it. Or we're outside of that word. To me, that's what we be one with the word. The Lord bless you. Took your time, but that's what we're here for. Otherwise, we know you're coming. That's great. Gracious Heavenly Father, we look to you now at the end of this service, knowing, Lord God, that what your word said is true. There is a Nicolaitan spirit at the end. There is a Laodicean spirit. They both start at the beginning, and they come right to the very end. And we know at the end time that many people walked out of organizations because they could not stand authority and went into anarchy. And then, Lord, we see many people doing the same thing. They are just as anarchists as the preachers that came out. They still got that same spirit upon them. They can't take authority over. Now, Lord, tonight, I want, and I believe the people here with one accord, all of us, we honestly want to have the Word of God in supreme authority over our hearts and minds. Lord, not all the time saying, well, it's hard, and people won't understand, and our children just can't take it. God, help us to stand up in this end time once and for all, because it's getting too late. To stand with this Word all the way down the line and do it with joy. To do it, Lord, as a thirsty man is finding water in the desert, or as a hungry man is finding food when he's starving. Lord, we haven't got that far tonight. If I stood before these people, Lord, and said I was that way, I'd be nothing but a bare-faced liar. And I wouldn't lie to them, Lord, and I wouldn't say to you as a liar. Any more than I'd try to be political with them or be political with you. God in heaven, tonight, as I look at the situation, I have only got one hope, O Lord, my Heavenly Father, one hope, that you that have begun the good work in us will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, by grace, may we stand still and with fear and trembling take even inch by inch step, inching forward to the Canaanite. Help each one of us, Lord, to get rid of those things we ought not to have. And Lord God, if there's TV sets holding us up, books we shouldn't be reading, newspapers coming in our homes, magazines, O Lord, different things like that, O God, may we tonight, as the prophet says, show everything outside house clean, and then claim the token over our family and do our best to live godly. Lord, I know that back in that day when you stood upon earth with Sarah and Abraham, as Abraham, you talked and he was deadly serious, the Lord Sarah in that inside tent, she laughed. But when you rebuked her, she stopped laughing. And Lord, I may be wrong, but I've had the feeling that until you rebuke the bride, we're going to be laughing up our sleeve like this. Now, Lord, I wouldn't want to hurry you. And I know I have no right to ask you something you won't do. But Lord, to me tonight, it would feel pretty good. It would be just good as I see it. If you'd rebuke us a little early, Lord. Lord, you'd get us a little serious at this moment. And in these days, O Christ. God, not to wear our feelings on our arms. Not to be running down anybody or lifting up somebody. The Lord Jesus Christ, for the pure sake of the pure word of Almighty God, by a pure spirit of love and faith through Jesus Christ, be doing the pure thing. That's what I want tonight, Lord God. I pray for young people here, Lord. I know they don't have a role that's too easy to hold. I know, Lord, in the face of what's going on in this earth, there's going to be millions and billions of young people die when your flaming fire takes destruction. There's going to be billions, Lord, will follow the Antichrist. They're going to be cannon fodder. They're going to be fodder for the atomic bomb. and they're going to end up in the lake of fire. Lord, I know that this age is due. Young people, Lord, are not going to come to a place of maturity where they'll have their children or grandchildren. I believe it's all over. And Father, I know therefore the Spirit has got to be upon this world and how hard it is for the young people because you've got to judge an awful young generation. And I pray for them, Lord, that in the face of the pressures that their family puts upon them because the family loves you and tries to serve you, may they be understanding and realize that no parent is trying to hurt them. They're trying to be helped. And what often seems grievous and one-sided and partial is not necessarily so. God, I pray for them in this day of anarchy and rebellion where it's so evident. And so there's not a newspaper, not a calendar that's not inundated with it. There's not a moment going by in this day, Lord, not a split second. There's not some act of anarchy. And then, Lord, you see that very same thing in the church. Forgive us, O Lord, tonight. Jesus, you said, if we heard you knocking at the door, and we said, come in, open the door. Lord, tonight we've heard you knocking on our door. We're opening that door tonight, Lord. We're opening our minds and our hearts, O God. Please come in. Please come in, Jesus, tonight. With the full effect of the sanctifying life-giving word, O God. And make us manifest as members of the body of Jesus Christ. You said you'd sup with us, Lord. Sup with us, O God. We want to sup with you. We don't want these things, Lord. We're plagued by them. But we don't want to be like Lot, Lord, whose righteous soul was best day to day. We want to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. We want to get up there in the hill with Abraham. God, help us to move apart and away. Hidden in the cleft of the rock. Under the shadow of the Almighty. We want you for our buckler and our shield. God, tonight you be our high God. You be the anointing and revelation upon our minds. You bring all things to our mind, O Lord. You satisfy us with good things. You give us the manna, Lord. Oh, Jesus. As your prophet so sternly said, I've put everything aside for this year. This is my one calling. Now, this is what I must be true to. Lord God in heaven, he didn't bring the word to himself. He brought it to us. This is what we must be true to. This is our life. Help me, Lord, tonight. Help me, Lord, tonight, not be carried away by the cares of this world. Or to be disconcerted, Lord, by those things that I see, because they have bothered me, and I've taken issue. And I've even been hypocritical at times about them, Lord. Hypercritical, and then that leads to hypocritical. Lord, I don't want to be that way. I want to be a living example of the word of Almighty God. I never handle this word as a cup, because that makes me a traitor to you and a hypocrite to the people. I want to handle this word, Lord, just the way it is, and bring it to the people, Lord, just the way they are, and just the way I am. May the Spirit of God anoint it. May it be true, every bit of it true, Lord. Which it will be if I'm truly a child of yours to keep this word. And Lord, if I'm not, then I'm deceived, and I'm in terrible shape and you're deceived. Lord, I don't believe. I believe we're here tonight in truth and in spirit. And we don't want to be guilty of this end time, terrible condition, where the two things come together, where the two evils in the clergy and the people come together to form a head. Oh, God. That's the whole top of the head to the feet full of purifying sword and no cable that's clean, not one. Lord, may we be audited. Shuckle. Awaken, I pray. God bless each one tonight, Lord, I pray. Touch each one by your Spirit, Jesus. Give them that determination, Lord, and that desire, Lord. They'd like to charge you, ask for me in my house. I'm going to stand with the word. Lord, may there not be one promise fail to these dear ones here tonight. May there not be one home represented that fails, O God, to have the full revelation of the word by the applied to. May there not be one Jesus who doesn't rejoice and find their complete joy and exhilaration, the wine of their stimulation, in the revealed word of God. And then, O Christ, may it be our pleasure to minister. And above all, to live it before the word. Grant it, Lord, purify these tongues of ours, O God. Bridle them, I pray, O Christ. Circumcise our hearts, O God. Anoint us with the Spirit of truth. Out of our bellies may flow rivers of living water. We ask these mercies for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. May his name be praised forevermore. Amen. God bless you.